This is Maitreya Rishi speaking to Vidura at the conclusion of this chapter about Bhagavan Varaha Mahima, the avirbhav, or the appearance of Lord Varaha, Lord Boar. Maitreya Muni said, "Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart." Srila Prabhupada's purport. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10, which he's not giving the Sanskrit, Tesham Sadata Yuktanam, "The Lord gives intelligence to the pure devotees so that they may be elevated to the highest perfectional stage. It is confirmed herein that a pure devotee who constantly engages in the loving service of the Lord is awarded all knowledge necessary to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the Lord's service. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration because the Lord Himself takes charge of the devotee's spiritual advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and He knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable." In other words, the pseudo-devotee, pseudo means nakli bhakta, nakli bhakta, prakriti bhakta, Vaishnava praya, the pseudo, pseudo means false, mithya, what do you say, mithya? Mithya, mithya bhakta, false. Imitation. The pseudo-devotee who is anxious to achieve material gains, dharma, art, kam, cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord knows his motive. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose. Then the Lord is there to help in every way. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare. Srila Prabhupada is the embodiment of encouragement. He's the embodiment of gratitude and appreciation. And these are the qualities which make up the residents of the spiritual world. The residents of the spiritual world, the Vaikunthavasis or Brijvasis, they are full of encouragement. Full of encouragement for one another, gratitude and appreciation. So Prabhupada, coming from that domain, from that realm, coming to this realm, he is 1000% encouraging. We've heard of positive thinking and time management and controlling your mind and all these things. But Srila Prabhupada, his very existence, he's walking, speaking, acting encouragement. It says that the expertise of a devotee is that he looks within the heart of a jiva and he finds a spark. It's called the svabhav. Jivera surupaya Krishna nityadas. Jivera surup. What is it? The sarupa of every jiva is a spark of devotion. There's a spark of bhakti there. But it's somewhat smoldering. So the expertise of a devotee is he knows how to, by his words, by his bhav and prabhav, by his love, and by his influence, he knows how to encourage that covered devotee and how to fan that spark in the heart and make it burst into a big flame, a jyoti, bhakti jyoti, big flame, a light of devotion. So when someone reads a purport like this, Prabhupada commenting on Maitreya Muni's teachings, then he becomes so encouraged. But then Prabhupada makes a warning. He's saying, the encouragement is that surrender to Krishna, be pure in your motive. Pure in our purpose, in our motive. And then Krishna will do the rest. Like they have these, I remember some advertising slogan, you rent a car with us and leave the driving to us. There was some car agent, leave the driving to us if you rent our car. So when we surrender to Krishna, we leave the driving to him. Of course we have to endeavor. But Prabhupada is so much encouraging. But then at the end of the purport he says, however, if you're not a Shuddha Bhakta, or Shuddha means pure in purpose, there may be some lingering contamination, lingering anarthas or avidya, some ignorance or anarthas. That may be lingering. But if your purpose is pure, your motivation is pure, what does the motivation mean? It means the motive. Why you're doing what you're doing, or why we are doing what we're doing. What is the thought, the idea behind it? We meet someone and we ask, oh, you're working for this company. What is your motivation? Well, the obvious answer is taka. Paisa, rupees. I'm working for this company to get money. What else? Without money, you can't do anything. So that's the motive. That's the reason behind your activity. The thinking, the motivation. So what is our motivation? We have to ask ourselves, and sometimes we have to renew re-examine our motivation. Because our initial motivation, our beginning motivation or interest or desire, we came to a spiritual movement, or we associated with devotees or spiritual personalities with a pure motive. You can say Shuddha Icha, a desire. I really want to know God. I really want to realize God. I really want to love God. I've heard about this concept. I've read about it. And I intuitively feel that there's something called transcendental love, divine love, love divine. It appeals to me. It attracts me. How can I find it? How can I experience it? How can I realize it? So I come to a group of spiritual people and spiritual movement. And I join. But then, by association, by the mixture of my own prabdha karma and my own mixed desires and motives, other things come out. Oh, maybe I can become the temple commander. I think he gets the Mahaprasad. Or maybe better, I become the temple president. And so then we have these material motives come in and dilute our original pure desire. Because actually everyone basically is a pure devotee. But what happens is our motives change. Our pure motive becomes tainted or contaminated. So this is a conclusion of the chapter here. Maitreya Muni, yesterday's verse, he was saying that if you simply hear this Hari Katha, this Katha about Bhagavan Varaha, his Mahima, his Avirbhav, then what will happen? It says, the Lord in the heart will be pleased. That was yesterday's verse. The Lord in the heart will be pleased. Okay, very nice. He will be pleased. Just like someone says, oh, if you serve me, some rich man says, oh, if you do this for me, I'll be very pleased. Then you can say, well, what does it mean if you're pleased? It means if I'm pleased, I'll give you a lot of money because I'm very rich. Oh, okay, then I'll try to please you if you want money. So this verse, previous verse, there's a continuum of the thought or the delivery. So Maitreya Muni is saying, Vidura, you heard from my lips. I spoke this Hari Katha. I describe the glories of Varaha, Bhagavan Varaha, rescuing Mother Earth from the Garbhadak ocean and killing Hiranyaksha, the first demon in Satyuga. So you heard, now simply by you hearing from me, the Paramatma, Chaitya Guru, Bhagavan in the heart, Chaturbhuj Narayan, he's very pleased. Then, oh, okay, that's nice. Well, then what? Then what happens? He's pleased, but okay, that's great, I'm glad he's happy, but what's in it for me? Because usually we're calculating from the center, rather than Krishna being the center, we're calculating from our center. Well, what do I get out of it? We are profit-oriented, because we are basically, well, this is our nature, our human nature, not our spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is Krishna's in the center. As one Acharya said, in the spiritual world, everywhere center, nowhere circumference. In the material world, everywhere circumference, nowhere center. Very interesting. quotation. Circumference means circle. You have your circle of interest. I have my circle of interest. That circle is your circumference. And you move in that, and I move in mine. And there's no coordination. There's no unity. There's no harmony. There's simply clash, conflict, argument, yudhya, fighting. Because your circle, your interest is different than mine. But in the spiritual world, every single jiva, ekalishvara krishna arasavya vritya, there's only one supreme lord there, master, recipient, and everyone's love is deposited there. There's one supreme lover receiving everyone's love. There's no competition for lovers. Your wife, my husband, your wife, this, that. So everywhere the center of everyone's existence is Krishna and Krishna alone. That's it. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Krishna Age, Krishna Piche, Daya, Vaya, Upar, Niche, Under, Bhai, Bhara. Everywhere Krishna. So everywhere center, nowhere circumference. So now in this verse, Maitreya Muni is saying, listen, not only did you please Bhagavan, but he's going to reciprocate with you because he's the supreme person. And when he's pleased, you get something. Something will happen if you please him. So that's what he's saying here. Yesterday he said you please. Now he's saying, what happens is you'll get everything. Nothing remains. He says that he's pleased. Sakala Ashisha. Ashish. Like you say, Ashishwar Mahadev. There's a temple in, Nandagram. Near Terakadam. And Ashish means, like we say, Ashivar. Means blessings. Blessings, benedictions, gifts, bestowals. He says, sakal ashisha. You'll get everything. Whatever you could imagine, whatever you could desire, conceive, dream, want. And your farthest reaches of your mind or your dream world. It's all available. That's how he starts off. You pleased him, now he will give you everything. And then Vitura is thinking, oh, he'll give me everything. And then next verse he says, but what happens is that lava atmabhi, when he gives you, when Bhagavan really reciprocates with you, then you don't, everything becomes tuchavat, becomes insignificant. You don't, oh, these material things? I wanted these material things, but now Krishna's reciprocated with me? Oh, I don't. His love is everything. His service is everything. I've abandoned. I give up and relinquish all these other considerations, other ambitions, other desires. Like we see so many devotees, they're absorbed in the university education. Really absorbed. Dragging their bodies and their computers from class to class and taking notes. And then somehow they meet a devotee and they hear the philosophy and they read Prabhupada's books. And they pray to Prabhupada because they have some sukriti and punya and shraddha, faith in their heart. And suddenly they think, forget it. Why should I become a doctor and take care of people's bodies? People have to get, they die. I fix them today, tomorrow they break. Today I fix them and call Tutgaya. they break. Everything, they're finished. So what's the benefit of mundane medical care? There's so many doctors, let them do it. Because some devotee says, oh, you want to be a doctor? You have a desire, you have a bhav to help people? Then why don't you help people become free from death? Why don't you help people become free from misery? Why don't you help people become free from anxiety? Disappointment. Like sometimes, like someone is telling me, in Bombay, they have 3D, something called 3D movie. Three-dimensionally, wear some special glasses and you see 3D movie. Now they have something called 4D movie. Four-dimensional. Like us, we're four-dimensional. We're length, width, depth, and consciousness. We have the jiva, as a living being, we have four dimensions. Length, width, depth, and consciousness. Matter and mixing with consciousness. So this is four-dimensional. So what is a four-dimensional movie? It's a 3D movie and you wear the glasses and see some special photography with special glasses, goggles, specs. And then they come around, and if you see in the movie there's some waterfall and water is falling, then they come around with a spray gun of water. And they spray everybody in the audience. And they go, oh, wow. Wow, the water is coming on me. It's a new dimension. I'm not only seeing this three dimension, but I'm feeling the water. And then if somebody is moving through a rose garden and the lady or whatever, they're seeing the roses or picking roses, then some guy comes around and sprays some aerosol, synthetic rose, gulab ganda. And he goes, oh, I smell roses. So he was telling me about the glories of 4D movies, which I've never seen. And I said, yes, I said, my dear sir, you are in a 4D movie. Huh? I said, yes, you yourself are the main star. You are the main actor. You're the Mukhya Nayak, or whatever they call it. What do you call it? Hero. You're the hero, right? You're the hero, they say in India. Cinema hero. You're the leader of this, you're the chief actor in this 4D movie. Oh, really? What is that? You don't know. Distress, dissatisfaction, disappointment, and death. These are the 4Ds. And a lot of your family members are also there. Your wife is in that movie. She's a co-star. And your supporting actress, your daughter. Right? Distress, dissatisfaction, disappointment, and then? Haribo. Goodbye. Death. So, this Maitreya Muni, he's saying that when you get this stroke of mercy from Krishna, then you'll consider anything material insignificant. One who engages in it, then Maitreya Muni, Vidura is hearing this, so then his thinking is saying, okay, you said if I hear this Harikata, Bhagavan will become pleased. That was yesterday's class, Maitreya. And today's class, Maitreya is saying, and if he's pleased, then you can achieve anything. Anything imaginable you can achieve by his grace, by his mercy. Acha. Then Maitreya says, but I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, Vidura. Your thoughts. But when you'll consider all material things to be insignificant. Acha. Now Vidura is thinking, well, how does it happen? He's in the heart and I'm out here. And I can't see him. He's hiding in the heart. It says guha. Guha means cave. It says gufa. Guha. The word there is gufa. Right? What does it say? It says guha asha. Guha asha. Asha actually means hope, isn't it? Asha. Asha banda. Hope. So there's a lot of hope inside our heart. Technically, in Sanskrit, guha asha. Guha means cave. Gufa. The cave of the heart, the core of the heart, asha. There's a reservoir of hope in the heart. And that reservoir means water. That water is paramatma. Paramatma is lying in the heart. And the water of hope. The waters of hope are in the heart. Guha asha. So Vidura is saying, well, you know, I'm here and Bhagavan's in the heart. How is he going to make all these fantastic arrangements to give me whatever I want? And then he says, that's what he says in the third part of the verse. He says, if you engage in loving devotional service, then you'll be elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord himself. Swayam vidatte swagatim. Swayam vidatte swagatim. Swagatim means his place. He himself, vidatte, he will give you, certainly. It's like vishesh data, vishesh. Very especially he will give you a place next to him. Swayam vidatte. Right? Swagatim. Swayam means he will arrange it. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He will personally do it. From within the heart. If you engage in loving service. And he's seated right there. No one could be a closer friend or a dearer friend. So this is what's being said. So then Prabhupada, he's giving in his commentary. He says that he quotes a verse where Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how the Lord helps. Now, I thought this verse is mentioning a very interesting concept about mercy. So in Sanskrit, when we discuss mercy in spiritual circles, we use the word ahoituki kripa, or niropadi. Niropadi kripa. This means there is no cause. In English, we say causeless mercy. What does that term mean? Everywhere we say, oh, Prabhu, causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. That means this concept, this principle, means there's nothing we can do to get it. There's nothing we can do. Everything in this plane where we're living, this plane of material world, this is the causal plane. Everything is cause and effect. Because it's this side of the causal ocean. This whole place is permeated. Everything, every effect has a cause. Whether you can trace out the cause or not, that depends on our perception, knowledge, experience. But everything, every effect, every result has a cause. But this mercy, Krishna Kripa, Bhagavan Kripa, Vaishnav Kripa, Mahant Kripa, is causeless. It's a hoituki. There's nothing we can do to get it. So then you say, well, gee, what are we doing? What we are doing, we're doing sadhana. Vaidhi sadhana, raghunuga sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, sadhana bhakti, whatever, depending on whoever you are, your advancement. And by doing sadhana, we're trying to position ourselves, put ourselves in a favorable position. A favorable position to attract the mercy of the Lord. Because we know that this is one of the most powerful and attractive qualities of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Especially Krishna. Although Vishnu has also this quality. But Krishna has this quality in umpteenth degree. It's called bhaktavatsalya. Bhaktavatsal. Krishna is so affectionate to his devotees. Even if you pretend to be a devotee, even if you dress yourself as a demigoddess, cover your breasts, you dress yourself like the goddess of fortune, cover your breasts with poison, Kalakuta poison, that could kill 10,000 men, and you come to me to kill me, I will show my love to you. Can you conceive of such compassion? Such anugraha, it's called para-anugraha. 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 The supreme, topmost expression of mercy. Anugraha. That someone comes, what is their motivation? Not to do pure bhakti. Not to do seva. To kill me. Oh, you've come to kill me. Oh, nice. That's nice. Welcome. Swagatam. Betiye. Oh, Mataji. Swagatam. Krishna is 6 days old. Yashodanandan, Balagopal. So how much affection? A whole bhakti, stana. The rishis are amazed. How is it, this Krishna? Okay, Vishnu has the bhaktavatsala also, Ram. But Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, no one can compare with Krishna. So devotees are banking on that quality, that this is a soft spot. This is a soft spot in the heart of Krishna. He's affectionate to his devotees. Although he's samaham sarvabhuteshu na me dvesyo stiyapriya, he's equal to everyone. But he's let out a secret of his heart. It's a heart secret that if you try to love me, you'll catch me. If you just try a little bit, alpamedasa or swapam apya dharmasya. You try to love me. Because dharma means prem dharma. This is bhakti. This is bhakti dharma. Swapam apisi dharmasya. This is neha vikrama nashosti. Pratyavayo navidite. Swapam apisi dharmasya. Chayatoma. Krishna is telling swapam dharma. Means a little bit of dharma. What is that dharma? That means to try to love Krishna. This is bhakti. Try to serve Krishna without motive. Ahoituki. Apratiyata. Apratiyata, the tendency to be free from motive or conditions. Pure seva, no mixture. And then, I will show my affection to you. So by doing sadhana bhakti, we are trying to perform shravanam, kirtana, vishnu, smaranam, do something. The scriptures are saying that these are the bhakti anga, navavida bhakti, and that somehow these please Krishna. Let me endeavor very hard in this way. Then Krishna might say, oh, you're trying so hard. So much chanting, so much guru seva, so much preaching and book distribution and all different sevas doing, family raising and so much difficult to raise children and try to inculcate them in Krishna consciousness and maintain your own bhakti. You're trying so hard. Acha, we'll try a little harder. So then we try harder and harder, more and more endeavor, more and more devotion, more and more surrender. Then Krishna says, all right, you've worked up a good sweat. Then the mercy. Well, these are the two fingers. The two fingers of Damodar Leela. When Yashoda brought the rope, it was two fingers too short. No matter thousands of ropes, how many ropes she brought, always two fingers, she couldn't tie it, always this much distance. One finger is the endeavor, the sadhana, the yoga abhyas, the hard work, the sweat, the toil, the struggle to please Krishna, to please the Vaishnavas and Guru. Work up a good sweat. Her entire body was soaked with perspiration. Her sari was sticking to her body. Her hair was sticking to her head. The flowers had fallen from Yashoda's head. She was she was old lady. She gave birth to Krishna when she was 68, 70 years old. She was not some teenager. Like nowadays, a village and a teenager is 12 years old to have a kid. Yashoda was 65, 70 years old. And this little guy, he's pretty fast. He's running off and, hey, Vadmash kid, come back here. Hey, Chalak Balak, come back here. And she's, she's old. It's an old car, old, worn out. This guy's a young sprint, he's a young chap, but 1 year old, 2 years old. And she's totally wet. And Krishna's saying, and she says, what is this guy? I don't care if it takes all day, I'm going to tie up this little rascal. He broke the pot of yogurt, he made a big mess. Now everybody's complaining about him. Now I'm going to teach him a good lesson. I don't care if it takes 100 years. I'm so determined, I'm going to tie him up. So with that determination and that hard work and endeavor, then Krishna said, okay, you're not, whatever you're doing is not enough. Because it's only if I give my causeless mercy. Because there's nothing you can do to make me give my mercy. Except you can try. So that's what bhakti is all about. Simply trying to get the mercy. Because there's no perfection in devotion without kripa. It's called Kripa City. They say Sadhana City and Kripa City. Kripa City comes by Vaishnava or Krishna. Krishna Kripa or Vaishnava Kripa. Krishna gives Kripa by Lochandan or Vachikadan or Soridhidan, from the heart or from his words or from his glance, gives mercy on the devotees. That's Kripa Siddha. Then there's Sadhana Siddha. But what is, as I mentioned, Sadhana Siddha means Kripa Siddha. So the nectar devotion, Rupa Goswami is tricking us. He's saying, you can get perfection, you can attain Krishna Prema by Krishna Kripa. Vaishnav Kripa, like Narada Muni got the Vaishnav Kripa and he attained Bhav. He got Vaishnav Kripa. Sohardha, it's called Sohardha Kripa. The heartfelt wishes of the sages that he served for 4 months in Chaturmasya, they blessed the little boy with knowledge, which his mother forgot. I'm seeing something else, Prahlad. But they blessed him with knowledge and they blessed him with Bhav. It says Bhava Nirjita. He got Bhav by their blessings. He attained perfection. So, Rupa Goswami is telling we can do sadhana. But he's just to give us encouragement. Actually, we do sadhana to get kripa. It's causeless mercy. So this is, he's telling her that Krishna is showing his mercy to someone who is tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam puyanti te. So Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport to support the teachings of Maitreya Muni and to elaborate and embellish them. So this is the interesting feature of Krishna, that when we approach Krishna, he understands our heart. No one knows us better than God. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And when he sees our motivation, or what is making it, why we're doing something, or what is our desire, and we may approach God, O Bhagavan, Hey Bhagavan, Dharm, Art, Kam, Moksh. O Bhagavan, I'm doing some Dharm, some religion, because I want some benefit, art, I want wealth. Arto, Artarti, Jignasur, Gyanacha, Bhartarshava. He says, I want wealth, I want health, I want position, I want power, fame. So I'm worshiping you. I'm doing my puja. I came to you. I came all the way to you. I came all the way to Venkateshwar Parvat. I took a plane from Delhi to Tirupati. And I came to see you, Balaji. I gave you 1 lakh of rupees. Now, please. Oh, Balaji, be nice to me. Make my business grow and grow and grow. 1 crore, 2 crores, 3 crores. I go to Balaji. I go to Vaishnav Devi. Vaishnav Devi. I go to Bunky Bihari. If I'm too lazy, I go to Bunky Bihari. Down the street, I go to Bunky Bihari. I go to any Bihari, somewhere. And I say, listen, Bihari. Listen, Devi. Oh, Bihari. Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi. Give me wealth, give me money. But Krishna, this is another special quality which Rupa Goswami is explaining. One of his qualities is you approach me and have these material desires, and Krishna fulfills them. The demigods, Shiva fulfills, Hanuman fulfills, different demigods, they fulfill material desires. It is a fact. They do. But Krishna also has a desire, and he desires to give himself to his devotees. So he makes an arrangement to change our motivation. He makes an arrangement to change our intention. Our intention. We approach Bhagavan with material intentions, like Dhruva Maharaj. He had material aspirations, motivations, intentions. I want a kingdom, like bigger than my father's. But then, and ultimately he got darshan of Vishnu, Chaturbhuj, Narayan. Then he modified that. He said, well, actually, you're so beautiful, I feel so satisfied. But Vishnu understood his nature. So he said, okay, you're Sakama Bhakta. You have some kam, and you're satisfied. You said you gave me your prayers that I was searching after a kingdom, but when I saw you, and now I found rare diamonds, and that aspiration for something material is only like looking for broken pieces of glass. I have found you. I'm so satisfied. He is speaking a good line. He is speaking a very good line. But the Lord in his heart knew his actual heart. He still had some material ambition. So he said, all right, Dhruva, listen. Very nice prayers. I thank you very much. Now you take the pole star and have a good time. You take the pole star. But you also become my devotee in the future. It's like this. Now the acharyas, they compare the difference between Prahlad Maharaj, because we just had Prahlad's Leela with Nrisimha a few days ago. They compare Prahlad's Shuddha Bhakti, this is called Shanta Bhakti. They compare his bhakti with the Sakamba Bhakti of Dhruva. Both are boys. Both are balaks. Both are kumars. Both are 5 years old. Dhruva was 5. Prahlad was 5. But Prahlad actually... Dhruva wanted a kingdom. He actually wanted it. Even after having darshan, he still was holding on in his heart of hearts. And Vishnu understood, you can't fool Vishnu. But when Prahlad Maharaj had darshan in the Nrisimha, then the Shringa is saying, Prahlad, take this kingdom. He said, I don't want it. He said, take this kingdom, take your father's kingdom, be the king, be this, be that. He said, I don't want it. Why are you trying to... He said, I only care about the suffering of all these people. Let them get bhakti, let them get devotion, I care about them. So then, but the Shringadev said, take it. Then finally Prahlad said, all right, listen. You're inducing me to take this kingdom. I will take this kingdom and I will rule this kingdom as service to you. So then he ruled a kingdom after Hiranyakashipu's death. Prahlad, his son, became the king. But he ruled because he's pure. He's pure devotee. He was Shanta Bhakta and Shanta Ras. His bhakti was pure, but in the Shanta mood. So that's the difference. Prahlad didn't have any desire in the core of his heart, and Nrisimha was trying to test him. Come on, Prahlad, come on, take it. Just like sometimes we try to give donations. We meet some sadhu somewhere in Braj, and we try to give a donation. No, I don't touch money. I say, no, take it. No, I don't take. And they say no once, and they say no twice. They never say no thrice. So this is the difference between Prahlad and Dhruva. Prahlad's heart was clear. So this verse, Prabhupada quotes, Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam. So he says, we have to come to this quality. Satatayuktanam. And of course, our some of our acharyas, they have described, it's a very beautiful verse, because this verse is describing the purity, the quality of pure devotion, the quality of absolute dedication, which attracts the attention of the Lord. And he reciprocates by giving wisdom, by giving discrimination, by giving guidance, the divine guide, the inner guide resting in the heart. We should say sleeping in the heart. So the acharyas is saying this verse is all about the pure devotion of the Braja Gopis. Sadata Yuktanam. Sadata Yuktanam means always engaged in Krishna's service. Yukta, yoga, always sat yoga, sat yoga. Sadata Yuktanam, always connected with Krishna. Always engaged in Krishna's service moment to moment. If we look in Vrindavan, we see the gopas, Sridham Subal. We see the mothers, Mother Rohini, Balaram's mata, Yashoda Nanda, Ambika, Kalimba, Kirtida, Vrishabhanu. They are in Vatsali Ras, mothers and motherly, parental love. And we see the servants in Krishna's house, in Dasyabhav, Raktak and Patrak, in Payoda. I know so many different servants and the coward boys. They're all in different rasas. So if we examine the Brijvasis, they're absorbed in Krishna's service. But there's some difference between the coward boys, the mothers, and the servants. In Dasyabhav, Sakyabhav, and Vatsalyabhav. What is the difference? These servants, they take some rest. They take some rest. Shayan, Sona. When the nighttime comes, the coward boys go to their houses and they take rest. And at that time when they're taking rest in the evening, 5, 7 hours, whatever, they are not doing any direct service to Krishna. Of course, they're dreaming of Krishna. Oh, we went to the Yamuna and there was that big duck, Bakasura. Oh, he was so big. And Krishna was not afraid and he walked inside. And they're dreaming. But they're not doing any direct service. And the mothers are also sleeping. And the house servants are sleeping. But Krishna's not sleeping. The gopis are not sleeping. And Braja Gopis don't sleep. And Braja Gopis are Radharani is glorified as Meenakshi. Generally they mention Durga, but this is one of the thousand names of Radharani. Meenakshi. Meen means fish. Akshi means eye. Ak. Meen ak. Keshavadrita Meena Sharira. Jaya Jagadisha Hare, right? Meena Sharira. Meen Sharira. Mean, you have a mean Sharira. mean in English means you're a tough guy. But mean means fish in Hindi or something, right? Mean or mean. We don't, meena, you don't say the A, you just say mean. Mean Sharira. So mean Sharira means fish body. Keshavadrita, Meena Sharira means fish body. Meenakshi Radha. Radharani's glorified as her eyes are like, hey, what is this? You're saying Srimati Radharani has fishy eyes? What is this? You dirt? No. What is this? You're insulting my Radharani. No. This is Shiva's glorifying Radharani. Mahadev. Oh, Meenakshi. You are the Adi Meenakshi. Okay, Durga is also called Meenakshi. Why are you called Meenakshi? For two reasons. One reason is, if you go in the water and there's big fish, which move slow, and little fish, which move very fast. We call minnow, right? Minnow. Minnow is a little fish, like guppy, minnow. They go, this side, and that side. You get dizzy if you look at them. You look in a river, in a lake, if you grow up in the country, we grew up in the country, and they just doom, doom. They're just too fast. They're like new bhaktas. When a temple commander comes looking for them, they're doom, doom, doom. They just run this way and that way. You can't find them, you know. Where is he? Oh, he went that way. No, he went that way. So the fish is moving this way and that way. So Radharani is called Meenakshi because her eyes are always going, looking left, right, left, right. She's, where is Krishna? Is Krishna here? She's looking, where is Krishna? Where is my husband? Where is Krishna? Where is my mother-in-law? Where is Krishna? Where is my sister-in-law? Where is Krishna? Where is Chandravali? Chandravali is the Vipaksha. Vipaksha party. Anti-party. So Radharani is really busy. So her eyes are always moving like a fish. That's one quality of a fish, constant movement. Another quality of a fish is that a fish has no eyelids. This is called eyelid, the curtains. We use these in Bhagavatam class. They're very useful. They're very useful. In Bhagavatam class, you go like this, and he goes, okay, down, boys. 45 minutes rest, and this guy from Vrindavan comes in, it's 1 hour. So you get 1 hour rest. But fish have no eyelids. 24-hour service. They're looking 24 hours a day, looking for a bigger fish, come to eat me. Looking for the worm or for the big fish. So this is a quality of Radharani's eyes. They never close. 24 hours a day service to Krishna. Meenakshi satatam yuktanam. Satatam yuktanam means Radharani and the Vrajagopis. Only these Brijvasis absorbed in Madhurya Bhav, they are truly the exponents or exemplars of this phrase of Krishna from the 10th chapter, verse 10. Satatam yuktanam, because 24 hours a day they're engaged in service of Krishna. So, Chobis Ganta Seva Karenge, or whatever, well, you know it better. But what we'd like to say, Astakaliya Seva. Astakaliya Seva means Ashtakal. Through the 8 periods of the day, morning, noon, afternoon, night, the gopis are there serving Krishna. Sadata Yuktanam. And Priti Purvakam. Priti Purvakam means absorbed in selfless love. Selfless. Everything for the beloved, nothing for me. No calculation, no business. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. No, only I scratch your back. I don't have a back. I'm backless. I have no back. I don't know anything. I have no back. No, only you. Selfless. Sadata bhajatam priti purva. And then those kind of devotees that are always absorbed in serving Krishna and are in that selfless mood, then Krishna, he says, tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. This is priti bhajan. Selfless. Then dadami buddhiyogam. Dadami buddhiyogam tam means I give buddhiyoga. Buddhiyoga means buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence, means discrimination, power of discrimination, choice, make the right choice. Krishna gives that choice. Make the right decision. Give the right intelligence. So that's the gopis are expert in this. So when Krishna sees the gopis in the afternoon by the banks of the Yamuna or anywhere he sees them, then he glances at them. It's called Krishna Kripa Kataksha. From a sidelong glance, he glances at them, and in that glance, in Krishna's glance, he gives them dadami buddhiyogam. In the sidelong glance of Krishna, he gives the gopis the wisdom, the intelligence and the discrimination, how they can steal away from their homes and families and so-called husbands and meet Krishna at night. And that's called mam upayanti te. Mam upayanti means meet me. So on this level, because every verse has a different level, there's the adhyatmika level, adhibhautika, adhidaivika. So on Krishna's level, with his parishads, this verse can be seen in that way. But this is Bhagavad Gita, and this is spoken for the Bhadajivas, and Arjuna is taking the role for our benefit. But the acharyas are showing us it's happening on this level also, because Krishna is functioning on many levels. He's functioning on his heart level. And he's functioning on his internal level. He's always in Vrindavan. Radha Partasarthi. How can you have Radha Partasarthi? Because Partasarthi is always with Radha. Prabhupada answered to Chaitananda. He said, sometimes Radharani is outside Krishna's heart. Prakat manifests, and sometimes inside. Partasarthi, Krishna's in Kurukshetra, but he's inside. Radharani's inside. So on Krishna's level, he's giving them a sidelong glance, and he's giving them the wisdom, and then they figure out how to, that gives them intelligence, how to steal, in other words, how to sneak out of their houses and meet him in the kunj at night. Now for the devotees, or chanting the holy name, or chanting Nam Sankirtan, then Krishna gives intelligence, and he makes our insignificant desires, he makes our material desires become insignificant. Oh, why did I want that? Why was I aspiring for that? Why did I desire? I don't need that. I don't need it. I don't need all this extra, all these things. I only need Krishna to save it. I feel liberated. So Krishna, the devotee is chanting, he gets, the inner guide starts to speak to him. In this verse, the acharyas say that Buddhi yoga means that Krishna, within the heart, when we chant sincerely, Krishna reveals our relationship with him. What is our Krishna sambandha? What is our rasa? What is our eternal relationship? Our stahibhav? Krishna will speak in the heart. This is Buddhi yogam tam. Dadami Buddhi yogam tam. I will reveal to you your eternal relationship with me, and I will teach you from within the heart how to cultivate it. Associate with this sadhu, hear from this sadhu, study this book, do this meditation, chant this prayer. I will guide you from in the heart how you can cultivate your eternal relationship with me, and finally you will meet me arm to arm, face to face, tooth to tooth, nail to nail. Like Gopakumar. Krishna was out with the coward boys, and Gopakumar showed up, and Krishna embraced him, rolled on the ground, and the coward boys were saying, "Who's this guy? Where did he come from?" Krishna is rolling on the ground in ecstasy because Gopakumar finally attained perfection, Prem City, and he entered Goloka. This is in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So that's Buddhi Yogam. Mam Upayanti Te means you will meet me. I'm in your heart, and I will make an arrangement so you will meet me, Sakshat Darshan. This word, Prabhupada, this verse is ending with this phrase. It says, Swayam Vidate Swagatim Paraparam. Swayam. So well, this is a famous verse. This is also being brought out here. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indre Sevanamukehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratida. Swayam Eva Swayam Spurti. Krishna will give vision of himself. How? If we become Seva Mukata. Seva Mukata. Seva Mukata means we have the quality, ta. The suffix ta means the quality or the tendency to do seva without motive, without personal motive. It says, and that in Krishna Prabhupada is always saying, that means seva to the holy name, pure seva to the holy name. Atak Sri Krishna Namavit Grayam Indriya. Seva Mukahi Jivado. Seva Mukahi Jivado. Jiva, the tongue. When our tongue is engaged in serving the holy name, Cheto Darpana Marjana, then Swayam Spurti, we get darshan. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra, because we have Partasarthi, when he went to Kurukshetra, there's a chapter 84 in 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, and it's all these prayers by the sages. And the sages are offering many prayers. So in the commentaries and some other books, Narada Muni is speaking there, and he's saying that there were three sages there in Kurukshetra. One was Vashishtha Muni, one was Gotam, and one was Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra Muni was famous for austerities, and Vashishtha was famous for philosophy. He really knew philosophy, Vashishtha. And Gotama was famous for chanting mantras. He's a very good mantra chanter. Everyone's heard, some of you maybe even coming, Gotam Gotra. Kapila Gotra, Gotam. So there's Gotama Rishi, Vashishtha Muni, and Vishwamitra. These three, it says in the Sanskrit, Shukadeva is saying sages, Rishi. These three Rishis were there. These three Rishis, Vishwamitra, Vashishtha, and what's the other one?
Gotam.
They are absorbed in Chaturvarg, Chaturpurusharta. They have some material motivation. They want dharma, artha, kama, moksha. They want something. They're not Shuddha Bhaktas. And when they went to Kurukshetra, they were not Shuddha Bhaktas. They had motivation. This word is there, motivation. So they had some material desires. They were not pure devotees. They weren't Seva Mukata. They weren't absorbed in Krishna's service. They were rishis, and they had pride. They had power. They had pride. They had pratishtha. They were not pure. But then they saw Krishna. They had darshan. And when they saw Krishna, then they became purified, and they offered prayers. And that prayer is there in the 84th chapter. It's verse 39, I think. It's in my notes. And they offered a prayer. They said, "Oh, my Lord, please, you've been so kind to us. You've purified us. You purified us by your darshan. Now we only pray for your mercy. Please give us your mercy that we can begin to practice pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti." So in relation to this, Narada Muni, he's speaking this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then he makes a comment, Narada Muni, he's telling there. He says, "Smrita Matra Akila Arta Dha." He says, "Smrita means smaran. If you remember me, Matra," like we say, Lava Matra, Sarvasanga Sarva. It says, "Smrita Matra" means smaran matra. If you remember me only for a moment, Narada Muni is saying, if you remember Bhagavan only for a moment, then what will happen? Akila art dha. Akila arta. Arta means anything. Art, anything valuable. Any object you want, anything valuable you want, any attainment, possession, attainment, wealth. Akila means everything, any possible. Akila arta dha. He will give it. So this is the beautiful quality of Krishna, that we simply think of him and remember him. Just by remembering him, he gives so much benefit to us. And we may be remembering Krishna and praying to Krishna and also have material desires, motives. And this is, of course, an obstacle. This is an anartha itself. But Krishna will adjust everything. He will, from within our heart, he will change our intentions. Like the Christians, they have a phrase. I remember when we grew up, they said, the pathway, which means the rasta, the road, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. In other words, so this is a Christian, they say, yes, the road to hell is the paving means the covering, is good intentions. Yeah, I had good intentions, but he went to hell. Because his good intentions, oh, I want to be a good guy and I want to be a nice guy. Okay, good intentions, but he killed animals and he was a bad person and he broke the laws of God and didn't ever serve God, never served God. So our intentions may be wrong, but if we simply try to remember Krishna, try to remember him, and the easiest way, of course, is chanting his holy name, then Krishna gradually, from within the heart, from the vantage point of the heart, seated on the heart, the throne of the heart, he will change our intentions. So we don't have to worry about going to hell with our intentions. Because our best friend, our divine friend, is within us. This is the great assurance that Krishna gives in Gita. First, he scares everyone in Bhagavad Gita by saying, Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokamahesram. Oh my God. Sarvalokamahesram. Bhagavan is Sarvalokamahesram. He's the Mahesh. He's the Mahaisha. He's the supreme, grand, topmost controller of every single planet, every single asteroid and universe and whatever else is out there. And he's the beneficiary of all yajnas. He's the Yajna Purush, Yajnavai Vishnu. Oh, he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. Oh, he's really big and he's too big for me. So it's called Aishwarya. Aishwarya Mahigyan. This part of the verse is called Aishwarya Mahigyan. It's full of grandeur, opulence, power. It creates fear. It creates distance. It creates awe. God is great. God is powerful. God is supreme. But then next verse, he comes on the first two lines of the verse like a lion. Ah! Now in the third line, he comes on like a pussycat. Then Krishna speaks, he's like a little kitty cat. He says, Suridam, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. This is Madhurya Mahi Gyan. This is Gyan, knowledge, mixed with the sweetness of love. He's not saying Mitra Sarvabhutanam. He's not saying Dost Sarvabhutanam. He's not saying Bandhu. He's not saying Bandhu Sarvabhutanam. He's saying Suridam, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Suridam. I go inside your heart. I live there. I rest over there. Guha Ashaya. This Guha Asha. I rest in your heart and I give you hope. I give you a ray of hope. A ray of Asha Kiran. A ray of hope. So this line from this peace shloka Gyatramam Shantamrichati, 529 Gita. This is the heart of Krishna. Surit, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I'm in your heart. I love you. Forget about all this power and grandeur. I'm right inside of you. I'm not far from you. I'm not distant from you. I'm in within you and without you. I'm everywhere. But mostly, I'm embracing you from the core of your heart. Do you feel it? Do you realize it? This is what Krishna is saying in Gita. Suridam. Surid means, Ridhi means heart. Is it right? Ridhi means heart. Surida means very auspicious, very beautiful. Subhadra. Su means very good, very auspicious, beautiful, resplendent, sweet, beautiful. This is the kind of heart I have for you, my devotee. And I'm waiting in your heart to give you my heart when you're ready to give your heart. If you can follow that. I'm waiting in your heart with my beautiful heart to give you my heart when you're ready to give me your heart. Yeyata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mam avartmanavartante manas partasarvasha. So these are some thoughts that are given to us by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. And we can consider these thoughts and the teachings of Maitreya Muni, this great Mahajan, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and take these into our mind and heart. And may we prosper in devotion by these divine thoughts from Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam. May we increase our sincerity and devotion. And may we all become pure devotees of the Lord. We all. I'm also praying. May we all become pure devotees of Radha and Krishna, Gaur Nitai, and Srila Prabhupada, and our Gurudevs in this very lifetime. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. The question is, who is Chaitya Guru Paramatma, Oversoul, Supersoul, Antaryami, Chaturbhuj Narayan? Everything's based on Bhav, Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Bhav, it's called Bhav Drishti. You see according to your bhav. If you have motherly love for your child, whether your child is 6 feet 6 and 85 kilos, 90 kilos, when the mother sees her son, oh my baby, oh you're not, ISKCON, they're not feeding you. Oh my baby. She always sees her son as her baby. That's her bhav drishti. The vision. So for Hanuman, Ram is in his heart. For Dhruva, Dhruva's meditating on Narayan. Narayan's in his heart, Narayan came out of his heart. Hanuman didn't show Narayan in his heart. Paramatma, there's five features of the Lord, and any feature can become the other feature. Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, he's Swayam Bhagavan. Then there's Vaibhav Prakash, Swayam Bhagavan. Then there's Paramatma, and then like this, there's different manifestations, five different manifestations of Bhagavan Tattva. So Krishna, he's Swayam Bhagavan, the original form. But then he showed to the gopis at Paita Gram in Vrindavan, he became Paramatma. So Swayam Bhagavan becomes Paramatma. If Swayam Bhagavan can be, everyone knows this pastime. In Vasant Ras, Krishna left the gopis, play a trick on them, he's hiding in the kunj. This pastime is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read Prabhupada's books, then you'll see this quote-unquote esoteric pastime. Right? It's driving Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's coverage is right. Krishna wanted to play a trick during Vasant Ras. Right? Srita Kamala Kucha Mandala He. Srita Kucha Kamala. Right? This Gita Govinda is Vasant Ras. So he's hiding in Kunj and the gopis are coming. He says, oh, I'm going to fool the gopis. I know I'm going to become Paramatma. Now Swayam Bhagavan becomes Paramatma. And when Krishna kills the demons, who kills the demons? Who killed Putana? Krishna's only playing. His drishti, what is Gopal's drishti? What is his bhav drishti? Oh, you're my mother. Putana, hey, Mataji. Oh, Mataji, such a nice breast, so much milk. Oh, very nice milk. Oh, special flavor. Oh, your milk has a special flavor. Very good. Spit out all the poison. And then, oh, very good. This is like extra rich, 4% butter fat. Very good. And now I'll kill you. But Krishna didn't kill her. Vishnu. So out of Krishna came Paramatma. So Paramatma become Swayam Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan become Paramatma. You understand? You follow? Clear? So if your Ishtadev is Chaturbhuj Narayan, then you'll see him in the heart and you'll have darshan, Swayam, Eva Smaratyada. That's Swayam Spurti. Spurti means you'll see directly. This verse is saying Swayam. Krishna will give you vision. You'll see that Lord. If you're worshipping Radharani in your heart with Krishna, then you'll see Radha and Krishna in your heart. You can't but be. Can't but see them. Who did Hanuman see Radharani in his heart? Anyone seen the poster? Is Radha there? Krishna is dancing in Rasa inside Hanuman's heart? No. Because his Ishtadev is Ramchandra. So Vishnu Tattva, he can do whatever. He can become Varaha, Nisringa, anything, anywhere, anytime. So Chaitaguru, according to your bhav, Chaitaguru becomes Ram, Vishnu, Narayan, Nisringa. This is the position. Thank you for your nice question. Hare Krishna.